Welcome to the Mindset Evolution podcast, powered by Self-Recoding, world-class consulting and coaching services that you can access at selfrecoding.com. Self-Recoding is a unique blend of neuro-healing modalities that will empower you to reach your full potential. Join thousands of others who have experienced rapid results in their journey of personal growth. Now enjoy our show where we bring you tools for a powerful mind with your hosts, Kathy Tate and Daisy Papp.
And hello everybody and welcome back to another episode of Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution podcast. I'm your host from Australia, Kathy Tate. With me as always, your host from America, Daisy Papp. Hi, Daisy.
Hi, Kathy. Good to see you. Good to know that we are in the process of recording a new episode. What's up your sleeves?
Oh, yes, Daisy. Episode 194. We're getting so close to 200. We're going to have to open some bubbles in a few weeks, I feel.
I'm in.
Today, I have a listener request that we're going to talk about. And they've written and asked, do we have an alarm system?
Okay. The question is, and I think that it's not possible to have the listener's attention at this very moment as we are recording. I don't know where in the world they are located. I wonder how they define alarm system.
So in their letter, they wrote to me that they have trouble feeling when they're not going in the right direction. And is there a way to tell when we should be stopping and pausing and looking at what's going on? Is there a way to pick up on that within ourselves? That's where she's getting at, I think, when she's asking about an alarm system. Obviously, it's not an actual alarm system, as in what we would use in our house for smoke alarms or intruder alarms. But if we look at it as an analogy onto our own selves and perhaps our bodies or our psyches, our minds, do we have one built in that will help her navigate things? So I think that's what she's asking.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for clarifying. Yes.
Great.
Do we have an alarm system? Yes. Many. Nino, Nino, Nino. Now our sound engineer can come in with his alarm system sound effects. Well, I think we have many of these alarm systems and we are conditioned to be numb to many of those, sadly. Now, the question is, how do we uncondition ourselves? That's my first thought on it. And I'd like to give an example so we can get on the same page here. For example, something is really frustrating and it's happening over and over. And today, five of these things happened in a row. And virtually, metaphorically, we have a resentment bucket and we have a stress hormone bucket. And drip drop, there are dropping drops into these buckets. And we are so used to that. Anger. You're not supposed to be angry. Can't be angry. And I say quite the opposite. It's totally okay to be angry. Totally. Because now referred back to the episode title suggestion, that's also an alarm system. There are pre-sensory signals. Need to pay attention. And then when we ignore them, then it becomes louder. Nino, Nino. And then when we ignore it further, then there comes the implosion or the explosion, yeah, internally, or I'm expressing it into the outside world. I think it is very healthy that we have alarm systems. I conducted a workshop some weeks ago, live with people attending. So it was in the 3D world. It was not online. And it was lovely to interact with humans. It was a wonderful group of people. And I had one of the attendees stand up and pretend that they were angry at me. And I said, okay, so not too loud, but express your anger at me. And for me, doing that was a different reason because I wanted to show the audience how we can healthily respond to these anger explosions in a healthier way that doesn't make the anger from the other go away, but our response has a great impact on the outcome. And I referred to a dashboard in the car when you have that little red light go on and it says, oh, low oil pressure or overheating, low on gas, whatever that signal may show, airbag not working, brakes are not functioning. And these are great signaling systems that draw our attention gently because they don't do nino, nino. I mean, some cars do sort of a sound effect to it, depending on how urgent it is. And when we in ourselves become more sensible and sensitive to these little red lights on the dashboard showing up that, hey, something's off, and we then act upon that moment in time, instead of waiting, it increases, it's a curve, and then something happens. For example, I'm realizing I feel nauseous. Oh, okay, no, but I must work, and I must take care of the children, I must take care of my mother, I must take care of my responsibilities in the community. No, these alarm systems, noisy or lower volume, are there to signal you that, hey, halt, slow down, check engine. When I refer to check engine, that may be mentally, that may be spiritually, that may be physically, that may be psychologically, pay attention, hold on, slow down, check engine first, and then move on. That doesn't mean you're totally interrupted. The sooner, I think, we notice that the alarm system signals us something and we then pay attention to it, the less the long-term damage may be. That refers to a relationship, that refers to an intimate relationship, that may refer to a relationship at work or my employee and employer relationship. So, hey, when something's off, pay attention, because it's so much easier. I give even a different aspect into that. It's a private story from my life. I had a rented grandmother. She was a housekeeper who became the grandmother of my son because he had no physical grandmothers in his life. And she said, when it came to dishes, in the evening, you can wash the dishes almost with your tongue, not suggesting to do the dishwashing with your tongue, but so how easy it is. And she said, in the morning, you need to scrape it with your fingernails. So I think that gives a very interesting picture that when we pay attention sooner, then the long-term damage can be avoided, I think.
Yeah, I can see what she's saying. Yeah, that's really interesting. I know that I've seen a lot and experienced a lot too, where you're working so hard and so focused for such a period of time because there's something really important you're working on, and you finally get it finished and you stop and to give your body a rest, and then suddenly you'll get the flu or you'll get sick or something because your body's just gone, oh, finally, I'm going to get some time. But because you've left it so long and you haven't looked after yourself while you've been so focused, that when you finally do rest, your body sort of rebels on you.
It appears to me that it's dragged. So I like that example, although I don't like experiencing it, but it happened to me too. I think that the breakdown at the end of completion of a project can be avoided by paying attention sooner. And I think it is also an interesting thought to compare with a car, the red light on a car. I know of people, they are so attentive to their cars. They clean it, they polish it, they vacuum it. I don't even know what else they do with their cars. They put the super fragrance in it and they make it really look great and strong and powerful. If they just put a little of that effort inwardly, then we all can have very different qualities of interactions. Because I know of people, they would never, ever continue driving with a flat tire. But when it comes to their body or their mind, their mental well-being, they just drag it and cover it up and cover it up. Let's stop doing that. And, well, do we have an alarm system? We have many. The question is, what do we do with them? How can we be friends?
Actually, first, I think we should talk about what some of those alarms might be so people can recognize them within themselves. So for me, it would be being extremely tired, maybe feeling a bit ill or off color, maybe emotional reactions, which aren't that common for me to highly react to something, maybe some sort of negative emotion. If I've come into contact with a situation that really doesn't agree with me, I'll have some sort of negative reaction. Are those all common things, do you think?
I think so, yes. It can also be stomach pain. It can also be shaky hands. It can be shortness of breath or breathing very shallow instead of taking in what we really need. Because breath is the most important. You can be without food for weeks. You can be without water for a few days. You cannot be without taking a breath for longer than a few minutes. And I think it is a good idea to sensitize ourselves. It's okay to check in with yourself. For example, what I heard you say, if I heard you correctly, that you may be more emotionally in your reaction instead of responding to a daily situation. Well, oh, wow, notice it. What is going on within me? I understand that it is really an old adage and it's no longer something fancy to use. I'd like, nevertheless, to circle back to the oxygen mask in the plane. When there's a lack of oxygen in the cabin of the plane en route, then the oxygen masks fall from the ceiling. And before taking off at any airport, in any plane, they share with you when there's a lack of oxygen or loss of oxygen, that pull the oxygen mask on your mouth first, mouth and nose first, and then take care of others. And although it is almost a cliche, it's very good because it's very picturesque. And let's do that more often. When we understand that nothing is more important than us, because when I don't pay attention of my functionality and my functioning, physically, mentally, spiritually, and I could go on, then I'm abandoning my well-being. So I put someone else's well-being above mine, but that weakens me to a degree that then there's no reason for them to be above, because even if they are above, I will not be able to serve or be my best, bring my best version of myself to the table or help them the best way I can possibly do when I take care of me first.
Yeah, I feel like this is a common thing with mothers. We often put our children, our families before ourselves, and it's something we've probably been conditioned to do because that's what our mothers did and their mothers did. But I had this realization when my son was young that if I wasn't right, how was I going to be able to show up as the best mother I could be if I hadn't sorted myself out or if I wasn't taking care of myself? And so I think that's a really good way to look at it, because it is our instinct to care for people. And it's the same for men. Their instinct is to protect their families and to provide for them. And you often see a man working himself so hard and not taking care of himself. And then they're conditioned to not like to go to the doctor or not take the time out to take care of themselves. And so I think it's really common that we've got these conditioned programs in us from our youth and from our parents and their parents that has just been handed down, and it is that way. And we don't stop and examine that and go, is this the best way to be? If you don't look after yourself, then one, who else is going to do that? Maybe you do have somebody in your life who would do that, but I never count on that. I feel like it's best to be independent about this and make sure that you are looking out for yourself. One person that I knew years ago put it really well. He said, if you don't look out for number one, who's going to? And I was like, okay, so I'm number one. And if I get myself in the best position I can be, then I'm going to be a lot better for those around me that I love and care about. And so we've got to stop thinking of self-care as selfish. It's not. Or alternatively, stop thinking of selfish as a bad thing, because it is a good thing to take care of yourself.
I like the play on words. And when humans come to me and they share with me first that, yeah, well, but that's selfish and I'm taught and brought up not to be selfish. Selfishness is something bad. And I then dissect the word selfish. And then I ask them, are you selling fish? And that really confuses them, because I want to break that pattern. And then they get that picture of themselves, maybe fishing or then afterwards selling a fish. And that appears to be very helpful and competent as a tool when people have the idea that selfishness is a bad thing. Let's go back in time. Every single one of our listeners, including you and I, we were babies at a time. And were we considered selfish when we signaled that our alarm systems signaled us that something's off? When we were bored, wah! When we had hunger, wah! When we were thirsty, wah! And then they said, oh, how cute. And then somehow in our upbringing, there was that switch, that moment in time where it just flipped. And all of a sudden, it was no longer okay to want or to be thirsty or to be hungry or need to go to the bathroom or whatever we wanted. We wanted the candy or we wanted that teddy bear. All of a sudden, it was no longer okay. And I think that we are born with these alarm systems. It's absolutely natural. And I think it is a good idea to make friends with them again. And self-care is, I think, a great word to replace selfish with, because self-care is something valuable to most people. And when we look at the universal needs, we did an episode or maybe even two of them. I don't recall, it's so long ago, 3.5 years ago. I don't even know, 4 years ago. I'm not sure. No, 3.5 years maybe. That we recorded an episode on the universal needs, that when someone appears selfish, then they act upon meeting their needs that's unmet so far. So when we look at that from this point of view, then selfishness is already gone, because every human, so I think, is attempting to get their needs met. And then there are different ways how we go about that. And some are more healthy and some are less healthy. Nevertheless, I think the healthiest is to maybe put a focus on the alarm systems. I'm not speaking to the other extreme, like becoming hypochondria. Yeah. Like, how do you call that in English? Hypochondric?
Hypochondria.
Something like that. Yeah, that's what I mean. Thank you. In German language, we would say hypochondria.
Sounds close.
So, yeah. So I make it up when I don't know it in English, or I Englishize it. And when we understand that it's totally okay to sense what we sense instead of covering it up or pushing it under the carpet, because when I go to my car mechanic because I have a red light on my dashboard and he'd go and just put a sticker over that red light, does that make the red light go away? Question mark? No, it does not.
Definitely not.
But how often do we as humans do that?
Oh, absolutely. So common. And I'm definitely guilty of doing that myself. I first put my hand up for that. Yeah, I agree with everything you've said. And it makes it very understandable how you've used it, those examples. And I would even say that the more in tune you are with yourself, the more you're going to notice these alarm systems and perhaps catch things even earlier. Because I feel that if you listen to yourself, any sort of feeling of unease even is the first alarm bell that something's not quite right, or you're getting a funny feeling when you've met somebody new that you're not sure about them, or you found yourself in a situation that doesn't quite feel right. Experienced all those things in my life, and the times that I've listened to that, I've definitely not got myself into as much trouble as other times.
I disagree with one part of that. Gut feeling is what you're referring to, right? That can be very misleading. based on our past experience with it. Because when that's conditioned as well, for example, red cats like Pepper, your dear cat, when I have bad experiences with red cats and then I get the gut feeling every time I see a red cat, that's also an alarm system. But okay, so what's the difference between fear and danger? And I think it's a big challenge to distinguish. And I think I mentioned that in another episode recently. And not all red cats are bad. And not all white cats are beautiful and loving, or all black cats are this, bring on fortune or something like that. There are some superstitions out in specific cultures. Also, my gut feeling can mislead me based on my past experience and my evaluations and the meaning I give it. So careful with that, I think. Nevertheless, when there's something off, my alarm system says, Nino, Nino, then, okay, check in with yourself. Is this my program? Is it a learned program? Is it an actualized program? Is it updated? Is it at all reasonable? Or is it like past history and just projection from the past into the future or in the present? I think that's also a good idea then to check in. Is it an emotional thing? Energy in motion? How is my response? Or is it just a thought process? The feelings. Oh, I feel as if someone threw a cat into my face. I'm just making this up. Or I really get tension. I feel my throat is getting choked. That's how it feels. Or my mouth gets dry. These are the sensations. Yeah, through the sensory systems. And I think it's a good idea to just be more sensible, able to sense.
I think you bring up a really important point around the difference between fear and danger. And I think that shows it really well, because we all understand what fear is and we all understand what danger is. And we've perhaps been in a situation where the danger is real, the fear response is needed to help us escape from it or save ourselves or make sure that we're okay. But then in other situations where we've got a fear response, it may not be because of danger, but it may be because of some unreleased trauma response or something that we've been through that we never got to untangle and process and reprogram, as you put it. And so I think that's a great way to show really what we're talking about in terms of alarm system. That so we have to be very careful to be aware that, is the alarm bell ringing a conditioned old response to a circumstance, or is it something else? Is it because we need to be really aware of something? Now, that I feel like that could be quite confusing for people at times.
Yeah. I think also it depends on how good a movie producer we are, because some people are just brilliant in the way they are capable of making up movies in their minds that their body responds to as if it was really happening, although it's not. I give you a nice example. To me, it's nice. I've received a beautiful video. To me, it was beautiful, where there was a young lady with a horse, and the horse was walking freely, and she pretended as if she would put the halter on it. Yeah, she pretended, and she made that movement over the horse's head. And she pretended as if she put the rope on the halter. And then she walked the horse and the horse followed as if it was on a halter with a rope. There was none. That shows us so clearly the conditioning of. And how often is it then that we have a false alarm system going on and our bodies respond to it? Body-mind connection is inevitable. Whatever I think, my body will generate or produce the matching feelings. Let's distinguish, how real is it, or am I fearful of the pictures I make up in my mind based on past history or made up stories projected into the future or into the present moment? Yeah.
Yeah.
How real is it?
Super important. And a real aspect of this that I think we have to think about, because otherwise that's when we have things like overreactions and even assumptions come into play. And we all know time. Those things can get us into a world of trouble.
Well, there are choices and consequences. One of my great teachers said in the past, you're always free to choose at least what's going on in your mind. You're free to choose. You're not free. And he generalized, you're never free of the consequences.
Yeah, absolutely.
So listen to your alarm system.
Absolutely. And analyze it and make sure that...
Befriend it first, I think.
That's
enough. Because so many people say, no, that's bad. No, befriend it. It's part of you.
Mm, that's a good way to put it. Well, that's all we have time for this episode, Daisy. So thank you for your insight. And we hope that's helped our listener who wrote in and asked about the question. We'd love to know your thoughts on this topic. What have you noticed about your alarm system? When has it come in handy? Maybe when have you misread it and it hasn't worked out so well?
Or shoved it away.
Yes, or ignored it entirely. Yeah, absolutely. So tell us your stories. We'd love to hear from you. You can post a comment under this video. If you're listening to the audio, please visit us at baldandblonde.live. And you can use the contact page, or you can drop us a line on email at ask@baldandblonde.live. Thank you, as always, to our major sponsor. Please visit selfrecoding.com if you would like some help. As always, close, and we're especially keen to do workshops with your groups of people. So please reach out to us. That's it from us today. We'll be back with another episode next week. As always, we are Bold and Blonde.
Mindset Evolution. Talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening in to the Bold and Blonde Mindset Evolution podcast. Please share our show with your family and friends. Together, we make this world a better place for you, for us, for future generations. When you need consulting or coaching, visit selfrecoding.com. Also, please remember to rate us 5 stars and leave a review and support us at baldandblonde.live. Talk to you soon.